Just thinking this morning about possibly sharing another few thoughts on prayer and maybe even getting into some very practical things. It's not something that we talk about a whole lot, and maybe almost never, but I know that some people have a hard time with prayer and struggle to want to do it or to feel benefited by it, or in some ways feel kind of distant from it. And so I wanted to share just a few practical things. And these are not what I'm going to say today. I don't want to suggest it as like a method for everybody or like something that everyone has to do in a particular way, nor do I want to suggest that everyone's going to have the same experiences or the same. I know that God is dealing with people according to where they are and calling them out of where they are and meeting them with his spirit. And I guess what I really want to encourage is familiarity with the spirit of God. And that's really what I feel like prayer is aiming at. Prayer is aiming at union with God. That's the point of it. It's to unite your heart and your mind and your will with God's, to learn to walk with him, to experience him, to feel and to find him in this world of this fallen world where man so frequently walks without him in everything that he does. And prayer is kind of like the heart's turning back to him and reaching after him. And in the words of William Law, rising up out of the vanity of time to experience something of the riches of eternity. And that's all that I'm trying to say, but I'm going to try to say just like a few practical things in case people are feel like they're stuck. And I know that there's some people that do kind of feel like they're stuck with prayer. And so if these things that I'm going to suggest don't seem to apply, to where you are, or if you're beyond them and think of them as kind of like training wheels that you've already detached and left behind, then that's great. That's great. Again, let me just say that the goal of prayer is to unite our heart with God. That's what we're trying to do by prayer. And man walks around with his heart so busied and so occupied with other things in his mind. And so when you think about prayer, don't think about like just like a duty or something you're supposed to do or something you're supposed to remind God he's supposed to do. Think about your heart coming back to where it fell out of. Think about man falling out of the intimate presence and experience of the life of God, and prayer is your way back. Prayer is at least part of a big important part of your way back. It's your heart turning and stretching out and reaching for him, and then all that that the heart experiences in and by the Spirit of God is all part of that. But I think as we pray, we are at least attempting to do that. We're attempting to unite, to turn back to God in different ways, finding his will by requesting what is according to his will, finding his love, and sometimes feeling or knowing, growing in a knowledge of his love or of his nature, maybe seeing more, experiencing more, adoring, worshiping more in your heart, the things that you know of him and find of him to be true and real. Experiencing more of an inward sense of his righteousness, of his truth, so that these words are no longer just words on a page that you read from time to time. You bump into words like wisdom and righteousness and glory and grace and faith, but actually, by prayer, these things become more than words, more than concepts and ideas. Again, it's just a It's to really experience a union with God. And one of the main, maybe the main, obstacles of prayer is the fact that man, and this is probably honestly worse in our generation than any other time in the history of the world, but one of the main obstacles to prayer is that there are so many images that are crowding into our mind. When I say images, I mean just things that appear, thoughts that appear, things that have been seen, paid attention to, watched, sought in our mind, images of anything and everything that isn't God or that has nothing to do with God. And then also that has caused a diversity of wills. I mean, there, and again, this has always been a problem for man, many wills and many images, but I just feel like so many of what are the greatest, what are called the greatest advancements in human life and technology today have also been the greatest image creators and will dividers of man, just to say it that way. Things that put in our hearts just billions, I don't know about millions, thousands of different images and create in us, like divide our will into just hundreds of little tiny pieces that want a little bit of everything, you know? Things like, I mean, not just things like I mean, the whole world online really just shows you so many things, whether it's entertainment or shopping or just images of what other people are doing or ideas and opinions or movies about everything. YouTube, I mean, it puts before the heart of man images that man has always had a hard time turning his mind away from all of the images of present sense and experience and turning it and uniting it to God. And now I just feel like that is harder than ever. And before I even say even anything about like some of these ways where I feel like the Lord has helped me to overcome some of that, let me just throw out a little bit of I don't know, a piece of advice, I guess, to anyone that's actually serious about wanting to pray or serious about wanting to walk in God, that you understand the nature of images and divided wills. And understand that when you are trying to pray, and if you find in yourself so many images popping into your head and so many different things that your heart feels pulled after, then I think it's wise to pay very close attention to that and to realize what things, some of those things may be absolutely necessary for you that are popping into your head. Some of those divided wills, things like our care of a family or providing for necessities and things like that are the kinds of things that I think we will have to wrestle with to some degree or another. But then I think that everyone will probably find, unless you're really walking with a great degree of circumspection and care, there are ways that their will is divided and their mind is full of images that are not necessary and that are in fact contrary to a life of prayer and a life of walking with God. And those things just very frankly should be stopped. That which impedes union with God, which I believe is the only purpose that we have here, is to grow in union with God. It is to say to grow. I mean, there's a lot of ways to say it. You could say union with God. You could say Christ formed in you. You could say becoming a fruit-bearing branch for his seed. There's a lot of different ways to say that, but whatever way you want to say, one thing I do know for sure, and I've experienced my whole life, is that a mind full of images and divided wills is a real enemy to walking with the Lord. And I've been led in my own personal life over many years now, starting when I first started to feel the Lord's pull on my heart, to turn away from things that created an unnecessary amount of images in my mind and wills in my heart. So I just kind of throw that out there as a, I don't know, a warning or an experience of my own. So I have kind of like these two things that I've done to help me get started over the years in prayer and to become more and more, I hope I can say, familiar with the Spirit of God and have more and more of a good experience in prayer and to have more ease and more sweetness and more and delight in it more and want to spend more and more time doing it. And I did definitely didn't start out that way at all, but I did both of these things, and I still do both of these things that I'm going to suggest to you. I think pretty much almost every day. But I also kind of have been led into other things as well. But one of them is just real simple. And again, I'm talking to people that don't know where to start or have always had a hard time like praying. And the one thing is, as simple as this sounds, is to just take a walk and talk to God out loud, not in your head. And the reason I say out loud and not in your head, and again, this is not a thing that I am saying is the only way of prayer or the main way of prayer. I actually don't think it is the main way of prayer, but it's something that I have found to be helpful in me. When I was in college, I started to every night go take a walk for an hour and talk to the Lord. I didn't even know what I was doing. All I knew is that I was feeling a lot of things in my heart that I just felt like I needed to talk to him about, or I needed to know about, or needed to understand what they were. And I started to go out every night late and walk around the campus and town and just talk out loud to the Lord. And I don't mean to just go out and bring to him like a shopping list of things that you want him to do. That's not at all what I'm talking about. And I don't really think that really goes anywhere very, very well. What I mean is to go out, walk and talk to the Lord about the things that are happening and that are feeling real in your heart. Whether those things are pains, confusions, trials, dryness, deadness, sin, you name it, or things that you don't understand, or verses, or realities, or relationship things that are super hard and bad. I mean, just whatever it is, I just would recommend that it would come from the place of your heart wanting to connect with God on that level, on a heart level. Okay? And what happens, I think, when you begin to do that is you begin to get accustomed to interacting with God in your heart. You get accustomed to bringing your heart and the things that are real and important to your heart to Him. Let me say it this way. You get accustomed to interacting with God about your inward world, the world inside of you that many people hide from themselves and from others their entire life. They don't ever talk about it. They don't ever try to even think about it. They don't know why they feel these things. They don't know why they feel these painful distresses. They don't know why they're afraid of this. They don't know why they're angry about that. They just kind of live in those things and they react to those feelings and their life is a reaction to those feelings, but they never actually bring them anywhere or even look into them. And what I'm suggesting is just very simply at a very basic level, getting used to walking with God in your inward world. Just that. And I say go outside and take a walk because you're gonna, I say take a walk because you're going to be, it's harder to stop doing what you set out to do when you're half a mile away, you know? You still gotta walk back. And I say talk out loud because your mind wanders, and if you try to do it in your head, especially at the beginning, after 30 seconds of trying to pray, you will be off on a rabbit trail in your thoughts. And when you're talking out loud, your mind is kept more in a line, and it kind of helps with those two things that I mentioned earlier. It helps with images because in a conversation, a verbal conversation, there is a line to follow, and there is a thread of communication going on, and you kind of have this tendency, as you do with normal people, you don't normally sit down and talk with Ryan and then 20 seconds into it just kind of go off somewhere else. Like you're used to engaging outwardly, verbally with somebody. And so that's why I say that. And in that way, it's just one very simple, very basic way, and I do this almost every single day, of engaging my mind and my heart with the Lord in a way that helps me with images and divided will. And sometimes when I'm doing that, I feel something, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute, but I feel a little something. Now, I don't know the best way to describe that little something. I have some quotes here from some early friends that I'm going to read when I finish that describe that little something that I like. I kind of jotted them down at different times when I was reading them and put them into this one note in my phone, which I have here. But sometimes, not always, you feel a little something in your heart, like warmth, like inward warmth towards God or towards truth, or you feel something like desire that's stronger than usual for something of God, his life, his wisdom, his truth, his purity. You feel a little bit of something behind your words that's not usually there. It's not there when you're having a conversation with your neighbor. It's not there, whatever, most of the time, but you can feel something small but real that adds a certain kind of sweetness to your interactions with God and almost puts a little bit of a weight behind some of the things that you're praying. Now that, again, I don't say that that happens all the time, and it definitely doesn't happen all the time for people that are just starting out, and they're mainly just kind of going out and swatting away all of the images and divided wills that are appearing in their mind. But it does begin to happen where this something is felt that is sweet and feels good and it feels right and it feels clean, and it maybe it's just the tiniest little thing in your heart, but it's there. And I just suggest that you pay attention to that and turn to that. And I'll talk to that and talk about that in a little bit here. But that's, again, the main thing here that I'm aiming at with this first thing is the heart's interaction with God, practicing a communion with God in your inward world, learning to live with Him and to walk with Him in what is inwardly real to you. All of your good, all of your bad, all of your pains, all of your rejoicing, things that shouldn't be there, things that you're rejoicing are starting to be there, everything that it is brought to God, and your heart begins to accustom itself to that communion with God in your heart. I recommend it. I recommend it. Again, I don't think it's the end all of prayer. I don't think it's the greatest form or the greatest reality, but I think it's good, and I think it's been helpful to me. And I'm glad. I don't know exactly why I felt to do that when I started doing that when I was young, but I'm really glad I did it. And I did it almost every day, and I did it for years. And I'm glad because it started after a little while. It became very normal and very natural for me when I felt things that were big to go out and talk to God about him and interact with God about him and ask God about him, ask him for what to define them, to help me to know what they are, to thank God for them, for the ones that were good. It became very natural for me over time to do that. And in some ways, that was a real help for me. Okay, the other thing that came to my mind, and this is a little bit similar to something that I have read in Jean Guillen's little book she has on prayer, but I read it again 30 years ago, and I don't know that I ever decided that I was going to like do it, but I think I just kind of naturally started to feel this happening when I was reading scripture. And this way is another training wheel, another help is to set aside time and to use another tool that helps with the images and the divided will in order to bring the heart into a place of more inward interaction with God. And that tool is the Bible. And the way that I would recommend people to do this, that I have found to be very sweet and very helpful to my heart, is to choose some passage, some devotional passage, not a theological doctrinal passage. Don't choose Romans 6. I mean, unless you feel led to go there, or Revelation about the beast and the two witnesses, unless you feel that that's where the Lord has your heart. But a psalm would be a great place to start, or the Sermon on the Mount would be a great place to go. And choose something that aims at the heart and read a little bit. Maybe, and the purpose of this is not to read, okay? So if you're picking up your Bible and just reading through it, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about reading a little bit with your heart, communing with God and looking to God. Read a little bit, and maybe it's just a phrase. Maybe it's just the pure in heart. And you stop, and or wherever you feel yourself touched or attracted or interested, or you feel like there's a little bit of weight, a little tiny bit of weight in those words, or you don't know what those words mean, or you're interested in knowing more about the thing you, or being more like the thing you just read, or anything that kind of raises or stirs a little bit of activity in your heart, not in your head, but in your heart. And stop right there, close your eyes and turn your attention to the Lord with that. And maybe then begin an inward or vocal, but whatever, interaction with the Lord about what you just read. God, it says the pure in heart will see God. Something in me wants that. Something in me feels that that's makes sense. How could I see you if my heart was full of things that aren't pure? Of course. You know, and you begin to kind of interact with you and with the Lord and say, I need that heart, God. I need that pure heart, and I don't have it. And there's something, a little bit of heart interaction that you can feel for a little while, and then maybe it dies off, and you read a little bit more. Read another phrase, read another sentence, maybe stop and ask him for light or for understanding or for wisdom on what you just read, or maybe thank him or praise him, or just tell him you don't understand. But again, the thing we're after here, and the main goal is the heart's interaction with God and reaching for him and not reading to learn. We're not in this reading to learn. At least not reading to learn in the way that most people think about learning. There is an inward learning of God that is very spiritual and comes from God, and that I think does happen at this time. But that's not really, I don't think our goal should be learning. It should be interacting with God about the things we read. And stop on every Where it just as long as you feel something, a little stirring, a little moving, a little life, a little attraction, a little interest, a little weight, a little conviction, as long as you feel something that you can interact with God about in your heart on that scripture that you just read, just stay right there. There's no hurry to get through even a verse, let alone a chapter. You could spend a week on a verse, a year on a verse. And if every time you go to that verse, your heart is awakened and stirred towards God, that's the place where you're supposed to be. And stay there and let your heart learn how to interact with the Lord. Now, this next part is a little bit harder to describe, and I don't at all want to say that everybody is going to have the same experience or feel the same thing or have the same or be in the same place or anything. I don't I want to give everyone give the Lord the freedom to deal with everyone according to the way he does. And I also know that there's seasons in our life where there's dryness, and then there's other seasons where there's a lot more closeness or sweetness of feeling more of the Lord, and then there's seasons where things seem really confusing. And so putting all of that on the table and saying that all of that is real, and there's no way for me to say this is what, if you do A, you'll have B, and if you do B, then C will happen in 3 weeks, and then if you do C, that's not at all. I just want to say that really clearly. But I feel like I can say that if this kind of interacting with God in your inward world becomes a regular part of your life, and I honestly would say start with like doing it an hour a day. And maybe that sounds like a lot to some of you, but I don't think it's a lot. Give an hour of your day to doing this, and see what happens. Sometimes that little thing that I was trying to describe before, where you feel a little bit of life or a little bit of goodness or a little bit of weight behind some scriptures or a little bit of comfort in the truth, a little bit of comfort in the truth, it gets a little bit stronger in you. And sometimes it begins to feel like a little tiny trickle is the way I describe it. A little tiny trickle or current in your heart that you can kind of feel moving. I think it's the beginnings of the streams that make glad the city of God. It's a little tiny brook that kind of flows in the heart, and you can it has a little bit of l movement to it and life to it. And that little tiny trickle can sometimes be almost imperceptible. Just a little tiny touch of goodness that you feel in your heart. Or it can grow and the river can be bigger and deeper and wider until it is really strong. And it flows with life. It flows with a consciousness of God's truth and his reality. And it's kind of like a warm sweetness, just a tiny little warm sweetness. It's not there replacing everything else that's going on inside your mind and your will, but it's there kind of underneath. Because it's happening in a different place. It's happening in the depths of your soul where God is meeting with you, but it doesn't take away your mind or the other thing. I say that just to say that you can have a little bit of this thing, even at the same time that your mind is doing something else, or your body's involved in something else. Or you can even have something of that little trickle while your mind is in great pain and distress. Strangely, you can have them both because they just are coming from different places. They're two different parts of man. One of them is experiencing God, and the other is experiencing our interactions with the natural world. And so maybe when you're walking and talking with God, or maybe when you're sitting and you're interacting with God in your heart while you're reading scriptures, I have found that sometimes this little brook springs up, and I can feel a little bit of the current of life in it. And then there is a freedom and even kind of a impulse to leave the book and leave the words and just turn your heart entirely towards that little trickle, and in that experience of him to know greater depths of prayer, feeling more of the real view of the Lord working in you, bringing forth desires. needs, awareness of want, praise, worship, adoration, amazement at who he is, a sense, an inward sense of more of what God is and who God is, a sense of righteousness, a sense of cleanness, a sense of the value and worth of truth, a sense of the work of Christ, both outwardly and inwardly, an inward sight and sense of those things that goes beyond just words. And sometimes words at that time seem to kind of dullen or even obstruct what it feels like the Lord is doing in the heart. And those are maybe higher, higher versions, or I don't know, versions, experiences of prayer. But I think that in those times, the heart becomes even more and more inwardly acquainted. So first there's a turning of the heart towards God. Then there's a practicing of an interacting of the heart with God. And then in little degrees and little ways and little touches, little pricks here and there sometimes, and then into even a little tiny bit of a stream, there becomes more of an inward interaction with God in a way that actually helps us to feel who he really is and know and see truth beyond words that are true, and feel righteousness beyond descriptions of righteousness in a book. You see what I'm saying? And know what humility is beyond just reading about how Moses was the most humble person in the world. And to feel these things, because they're all in that little stream. And that little stream is it's just a taste, or a, honestly, I think it's just a little tiny bit of what eternity is and what eternity will be like, being like a tree planted by a river, bearing fruits at all times. But it's real. And I struggle with whether I should talk about these things. I don't usually ever talk about them, ever, almost never. But I just thought that, like, some of these, like, real practical things, and then kind of a little bit of a description of a little bit further of where I think prayer goes and where prayer has led me, might be helpful or encouraging to some people. If it's not, I'm sorry. Just forget the whole thing. Push delete. Never listen to the audio. But that little stream has a power of its own, a life of its own. And it's really good for all of us. This is what the friends are talking about when they talk about becoming familiar with the power of God and depending on the power of God. This is where the heart begins to feel more and more of its attraction towards God, where, like, the Song of Solomon says, "Draw me and I will run after you." There's an attraction in his spirit. There's a pull to his spirit that takes away all of the effort in prayer. And I think I can say that very sincerely, that that little trickle, as it grows, as you experience it, and again, this is not like levels and graduations, and once you have it, you'll never need to use words again. I still use words. I still walk and pray. I still pray scriptures to the Lord. But I can say, and I think maybe I should say, that there's a delight, a true delight and peace and goodness and warmth and sweetness in prayer that can take away every little bit that you've ever felt of resignation about it, or desire not to do it, or feeling like it's a discipline and not a joy. It can become something far, far greater than just something you make yourself do. And again, we could talk about the fact that all of it is dependent upon whether or not you're obeying the things that that light and that spirit is teaching your heart. Because if you resist what he's showing you in your heart, then very as a couple of these things I'm going to read now from the friends, you can offend it. You can grieve that spirit. It's not hard to grieve that spirit, and that's actually how you learn how you are grieving the spirit, and how you're being careful not to grieve the spirit. That's how you learn. Sometimes you'll be feeling something of that, a little bit of that peace or that weight or that sweetness or something. And then something, you'll do something, say something, seek something, pursue something, and you'll feel that it's gone. You lost it. Not that it's gone, gone, like God left, but your ability to feel it has been muddied, has been obstructed by grabbing something contrary to it, doing something contrary to it, and there goes your sensitivity to it, and you can feel it. It's a tangible thing, and that's kind of like how you learn the boundaries of the light, because you bump into one there and you stay away from that one from now on. I mean, I wish I was better at this too, because I sometimes hit the same boundary over and over again. But that's a discernible inward thing. All right. So here's a few just little excerpts from friends that I thought I would read that I have caught my attention over the years. This first one is from John Bernyeat. Or Bernier, or I don't never know how to pronounce his name. He says, I continued, as I have said before, for these 4 years, mostly following my outward calling and attending and waiting upon the Lord in the workings of his holy power in my heart, both in meetings and at other times, wherever I was and whatever I had to do. And I found that as my heart was kept near the power, it kept me tender, soft, and living. And besides, I found as I was diligent in eyeing it, that is, looking towards it, there was a constant, sweet stream that ran softly in my soul of divine peace, pleasure, and joy, which far exceeded all other delights and satisfactions. And this became the great engager of my soul to watch with such diligence, for I found the love of God to constrain. And furthermore, I observed that if I neglected it or let my mind out after anything else more than I ought, and so forgot this, the stream, I began to be like a stranger. And I saw that I soon might lose my interest in these riches and this treasure, and in the true commonwealth of God's spiritual Israel, which Christ had purchased for me and given me the taste of to inherit. Thus, being mindful of the opening wisdom of God, which was from above and heavenly and not from below, earthly, I was preserved and helped in the needful time. John Grattan says, sometimes I felt something in my inward parts that was very precious and sweet to me, yet I did not clearly understand what it was. But if at any time I did or said anything that was not right, then I soon lost the sight and feeling of that. Oh, it has been gone in a moment. I saw that everything which offended the holy God and was reprovable would not abide, but all defilement and whatsoever was tinctured with evil was against it. Oh, this let me see it, what was against God, and condemned it, and condemned me too, so far as I joined with it. Oh, to enjoy this is a comfort beyond utterance to that heart which loves righteousness and hungers after it. When I have been talking with a person who did not see that I had spoken a wrong word, yet I saw it, and the Lord's Spirit gave me to see it, though it may be it slipped from me at unawares for want of diligent heed and not watching like a doorkeeper as I ought to have done, then my sorrows would be renewed upon me, and tears and fears in abundance. That's John Grattan, Pennington. And this is it, to retire inwardly and to wait to feel something of the Lord, something of His Holy Spirit and power, uncovering and drawing away from that which is contrary to Him and into His holy nature and heavenly image. And then, as the heart is joined to this, something is received. Some true life, some true light, some true discerning, which the creature not exceeding, not going beyond, but abiding in the measure of, is safe. But it is easy erring from this and hard to abide with it and not to run out before its leadings. But he that experiences life and begins in life, does he not begin safely? And he that waits and fears and goes on no further than his captain goes before him, does he not proceed safely? Yes, very safely, even until he comes to be so settled and established in the virtue, demonstration, and power of truth as nothing can prevail to shake him. George Fox, true religion is the true rule and right way of serving God, and religion is a pure stream of righteousness flowing from the image of God, and is the life and power of God planted in the heart and mind by the law of life, which brings the soul, mind, spirit, and body to be conformable to God, the Father of spirits, and to Christ, so that they come to have fellowship with the Father and the Son and with all his holy angels and saints. And this one from Charles Marshall. Marshall doesn't really mention like the stream or something, but it just talks about staying in a place to experience the power of God. I put it in here too. This is again Charles Marshall. He says, I have learned that from the very beginning of the work of restoration and redemption, everyone's preservation is found in an inward retiredness unto the Lord, and in keeping low in his pure fear, awe, and dread, and feeling after, that's reaching after, like palpando, like what's the word in English?
Groping.
Groping, I always forget that. Groping after his soul redeeming, preserving power in the heart, which quickens and enlivens. And as this is abode in, it keeps alive in its own pure nature over the world and over the world's spirit and defilement. So that's all.